Okay, again, Gemara Dalam Alf Masachim about Vdigas Chametz. If you have a renter, a landlord and a tenant, the landlord is the masakir and the tenant is the socher, so who has to do Vdigas Chametz? Okay, so the Gemara says, Bo'aminei, it's like two-thirds of the way down, Bo'aminei Merav Nachum Bar Yitzchak. A masakir by Yitzchaver Bar Basar al Milavdak. So if you rent a house, if you rent the house from your friends for the 14th, who has the Vdika? A maskir lived the chamir didayu. Do you say that the landlord has to do the dika because it's his chametz? Because presumably he's the guy who's eating chametz in there all year round, and he's just renting it on the 14th. So the rental begins. Let's say presumably begins at the beginning of the 14th. So all the chametz which would be in the house really belongs to the maskir. Okay, to the renter. I mean, to the, not to the renter, is not a good word, but to the landlord. All right, presumably, I think this is what I'm assuming, is that you don't rent, when you rent it, you don't give them the food that's inside. If there happens to be food inside, renting is for usage, for tashmish. So if there's perishables in there, he can't then eat your stuff or use your stuff in a way which will destroy it. So if it's there's food in there, it's your food. You use the landlord's food. Or therefore you, so do you argue that the landlord does the bedika because it's his food? Oh, dilma alasocha levdok. Or do you say that the tenant searches because the iser, the chametz, is in his possession? Is in his rishus because he currently has possession over the house on the 14th. And therefore he should be the one to search it. Okay, so Rashi. Rashi says, do you say it's on the chamir didei? So chametz shebevay shalohu, the chametz which is in the house belongs to the landlord. Or do you say it's on the soul? Rishusekai she'ata vay shalohu, because now the house is the tenant's. Now it's the tenant's house. Okay? So that's the question. Okay, so maybe before we go further, maybe we should just try to define that question. Okay, I mean, there's a back and forth in the Gemara, so. Simple question. Who does bedika? Do you say the guy who owns the chametz has to do the bedika? Or the guy who owns the, who has the house has to do the bedika? And there's house it is. Okay, which is the renter.
Isn't like the...
So, I mean, the simple pshat here is, this is the way I learned. The simple pshat is that, like, the question is, what's the deal? Well, let's just guess. So what's the deal with bedika? Why do you have to do bedika? Okay? So there's an insert in the Torah of you're not allowed to own chametz. I'm kind of going to give you Rashi's interpretation, because we're going to learn this Gemara through Rashi's eyes. Rashi's learning according to the Ran. There's a Ran at the beginning of the Masechta, and a Rashi at the beginning of the Masechta. And I'm kind of going to present it to you from their standpoint. Okay, the Ran interpreting Rashi. Rashi doesn't say that much. Okay, so basically, the Torah, if you own chametz on Pesach, then you violate a law. By Rabbi Matzai. Two lots, whatever. You're not allowed to own chametz on Pesach. So what's the solution for that? So in theory, there are two solutions, two possible solutions. One possible solution is you search out all your premises for any chametz and you destroy them. That's one possible solution. And then you're not going to own any chametz. You simply will physically remove all chametz from your possession. The second possible solution is a less severe solution, which is simply you do betel. Which is you may expressly nullify all chametz that's in your that you own, and you render it like dust of the earth, and that also works to render it. It's basically it's not yours. You don't have any chametz. Okay, either one of those works in the Torah. Okay, either one of those works in the Torah. But again, this is the Ran's interpretation of Rashi, is that the Rabbanon didn't like the solution of just using betel, right? Just using betel because. That's kind of a guy really has to genuinely do betel. It's an internal process, which a person can't just be lip service. You can't just say it. You have to really mean it. You have to think about it. You have to internally remove yourself from any chametz that you have. Okay, and as such, because of that fact, the Chacham said it doesn't suffice just to do betel, but they demanded, they obligated you to do a dubedika as well, to search it out.
Physically
search it out.
Remove it.
And remove it, exactly.
To avoid if not, if you just rely on BitTorrent, some people might be tempted
exactly.
to find it.
Correct. So, that's why they did it. But the bottom line is, that's the why, but bottom line is, if even if nobody does B'dikas Chametz, no one's going to violate Ba'ir HaVayim Otzai. Because, I mean, unless in the circumstance a guy doesn't do it properly, but that's just a chashash, that's just we're worried. But in general, the Maskir and the Socher, presumably the owner of the Chametz, the landlord, is going to do Bittul. And therefore, he's not going to be violated by Ba'ir HaVayim Otzai. Nor is the Socher going to violate, certainly not going to violate Ba'ir HaVayim Otzai. So neither, no one's violating Ba'ir HaVayim Otzai here. Okay, so now no one's violating Deraisa. But the Rabbanon set up a takana that you always have to search, you have to do B'dikas Chametz. So now the question is going to be, now who is this takana placed upon? Do you say that it's on the owner of the Chametz or on the owner of the house? Right, on the owner of the Chametz, the landlord, or the owner of the house, which is temporarily, it's the tenant. Okay, so I'm going with that assumption. Okay, does that answer your question?
Yeah, well, still.
I understand that this might be dependent. This might be dependent upon what your logic. This is another logic which is given. Ron also gives this, but it doesn't seem like this is necessarily Rashi's logic. But another logic which is given for why you have to do B'dika is because even if you do Bittul, maybe you're going to find the Chametz and eat it. Because technically you do Bittul and still have Chametz in your house. But then maybe on Pesach you're going to see it and eat it. So therefore, in order to prevent that, so therefore they said you have to search and destroy. That's a different reason which is given. So I understand that it might be that this question might be contingent upon the reason behind the chiyuv of B'dika. Okay, but I'd like to try to do is, could we define the question without getting into the whys? I mean, the why it's this way or why it's that way, you know, could be dependent upon the sugya of what the reason why they set up B'dika altogether. But let's sidestep the why and just give a good definition of the what. What's the two sides? What's the question, halachically, besides for just saying, is it on the tenant or is it on the landlord? Because that's just a particular case. But could we give a little more of a definition about what is the halach formulation of B'dikas Chametz such that it would result in this instance, the landlord having to do it, and what's the formulation such that it would result in this instance in the tenant having to do it? Okay? So forget why you should do it this way, why you should do it that way. You're right, that may depend upon these other factors. But what? Let me say, so one way is that it's the halacha of B'dikas Chametz is that if you own Chametz, that they said that don't just rely on Bittul, don't just do Bittul, for whatever reason. Why forget about it? But that's the halacha is when you own Chametz, there's a halacha you have to get rid of your Chametz. Now, intrinsically, in the Torah, you could do Bittul. But the Rabbanan are saying is don't rely on Bittul. Rather, go all the way to search and destroy. Okay, but it's basically the Rabbanan are telling you how to get rid of your Chametz. Like, that's the halacha B'dika. Don't get rid of it through Bittul. Rather, get rid of it through search and destroy, through B'dika. Yeah, B'dika and B'ir go together. B'dika is searching and B'ir is destroying. So that's what the halacha is. It's simply the B'dikas Chametz is an extension, there's a method of getting rid of Chametz. So if that's the case, obviously it's going to be on the person who owns the Chametz. Because that's what it is. Okay, what's the other way? I'm saying a little different, but I think the same idea as Yehuda's saying is that the halacha is, or do you say that B'dika is simply that you must remove Chametz from your house, from your Rishos. Your Rishos must be Chametz free. That's halacha B'dika. It's not just saying is that, no, really, in terms of your ownership of Chametz, Bittul's fine. But B'dika is saying is that the Jewish house has to be Chametz free. Your possession, you must remove all Chametz from your possessions, from your shas, from your bias. Okay, and if that's the case, it doesn't matter who owns it, who cares who owns it. Bottom line is, you're living in this house, you're the guy, it's your house now, practically it's your house, and therefore you can't have Chametz in your house. Again, why? Whatever reason why. Why is you get into it? Maybe because you'll eat it, whatever reasons. But the question is what? Again, is it the first, is it that they're saying is get rid of your Chametz not only through Bittul, rather through B'dika, then it goes by your Chametz? Or no, it's not just getting rid of your Chametz. It's simply a separate halacha that the Rabbanu set up, that your Rishos of Israel must be Chametz free. bias of the bottom of Jews. I mean, the split, the question is a natural question because in Bedikas Chametz you have two things. You have the makkah, the house which you're searching. Right? Bedikah is definitely then in a bias. The house which you're searching and that which you're searching for, the Chametz. So there's a lach of Bedikas Chametz generated by the Chametz. The Chametz can't exist, so you have to search it. You can't own Chametz, you have to search it. Or it's generated by the bias, that the bias has to be Chametz free. Okay? I mean, I think it's important. We're not really getting to the why you'd say it is, but I think you're right. It's dependent on the sugya of why they set it up. So, I mean, you give lots of reasons why, and it depends on each rishon, because somebody's going to have to go, you know. So I just want to try to stick with the, it's an ibaya. Asking, what's the halachic formulation of the thing? And it could be, you could say both within each reason. I mean, I don't know if any one reason could be, it's a question of how it's formulated, halachic. What's the halacha formulation? Even if you say the reason is because they didn't trust on people doing betta or whatever, you still could say the halacha, halachically what they said is that you have to render your bias. Okay, so this is a question of the what. I mean, maybe you could try to go further if you pick one shita and figure out it. Without doing that sugya about exactly the reason for vedika and betta and all that, I think we're better off just to keep it in just defining the thing. I mean, and this is just defining it, right? And this is what, I'm not saying that much more than the fact. Organize and you know, like a definition. Okay? So with this definition in mind, let's go further. Okay? I mean, it's really with any definition in mind, so you got it's a problem. Okay, by the way, the Rashash wants to tie it in like that question. Whether or not the reason for Bedika is because of Bayer Bayamatsai, or is it because maybe you'll eat it. You know, that's what he wants to do. But I don't necessarily, I mean, kind of, I don't want to go that far. I'm just kind of saying a little less than that. Maybe he's right, I don't know. I'm just saying less than that. Okay. So it says, Toshma. Hamaskir bayis lachavero. Al hasocher lasos lamezuzah. So you have a parallel question by mezuzah. If you rent your house, if you're a renter, so who has to put up a mezuzah? Does the landlord or the tenant? Okay, and the Tzabraisa openly says that the landlord, I'm sorry, the tenant has to put up the mezuzah. Right? Al-Sokha, mezuzah. The tenant has to put up the mezuzah. Okay, so what? So what does that mean to do with this? So Rashi says, Alma, so you see, midi de mitzvah le'aramya. Apparently, things, mitzvah matters, fall upon him. Upon the tenant. And therefore, it stands to reason that Bedikas Chametz also should be on the tenant. If the tenant has to put up a mezuzah, it stands to reason that the tenant has to put up the Bedikas Chametz. Okay. Any problems? Good. I mean, he was asking, well, I mean, it sounds like a very balabatish type of an answer. And you're not really saying, well, a mezuzah is mitzvah in a house, and the renter has to do that, so does it stand to reason that the when it comes to Bedikas Chametz also that's the way it's going to go? I mean, things just don't work that way in halacha. You can't just make comparisons like that. So that's a problem. I mean, how do you just learn from Chametz to mezuzah? Or from mezuzah to Chametz, more specifically, I guess what you were saying, Yehuda, is what was the question? You say that the renter has to do it because it's his house, or do you say that the landlord has to do it because it's his chametz? But in mezuzah, it doesn't have to do with chametz. It purely has to do with the house. And that's why I'll tell you that the renter has to, the tenant has to put it up. Because it's his house now. There's no parallel to chametz. If you say the idea of bedikas chametz is that whenever you own chametz, you must absolutely destroy it, you can't rely on bittul, fine, that's a reason why you'd say by bedikas chametz. But that doesn't have anything to do with the mezuzah. By mezuzah, there's no such thing like that. So therefore, if the whole you're asking a chakira about how the Chum formulated Bedikas Chametz, what's the formulation of Bedikas Chametz? How do you prove that from mezuzah? You're comparing apples and oranges, mezuzahs and chametzes, right? I mean, it's just weak. It's a very weak comparison. Okay, so maybe we're missing something, right? So, and Rashi doesn't help. I mean, he sounds like he's trying to help, but it's plays right into the problem. He says, oh, you see, things of mitzvah fall upon him. I mean, things of mitzvah, that's pretty loose. I mean, is that the way things work halachically? Things of mitzvah? What kind of things? Mitzvah matters? Right? I mean, things just don't work that way. Like, you'll say, who's obligated to do the mitzvahs in the house? The husband or the wife? So say, Leiner Chanukah, I guess, or Mitzvah, I guess it's the man's responsibility as well, but it's Leiner Shabbos, it's the woman's responsibility. That's at least they're more responsible than men, and primary responsibility on women. So I ask him, Mamanoshach, who upon whom are the things of mitzvah chal? Are they chal? Do they fall upon the husband? Do they fall upon the wife? Got a big kasha, contradiction. Right? The answer is that's too ridiculous. That's not a contradiction. They're different mitzvahs. The mitzvah of Ner Shabbos is a household chore. It's part of preparing the food, the lights, the put in the house. That's a woman's responsibility, and that's the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos. The mitzvah is part of the construction of the house or whatever, and that's the man's responsibility. I mean, they're different things. Different mitzvahs, different things. Can't just make everything the same because they sound the same. Right? I mean, that's just not the way halachist approaches the problem. Right? Okay. So maybe there's something we're missing. So let's see what the Gemara answers. So the Gemara says, Hasam, no. By mezuzah ha'amar Rav Misharshia, mezuzah chovas adari. No, that's because Rav Misharshia says that the mezuzah is the responsibility of the person who's dar, who's dwelling there, namely the socher, the renter, the tenant. Hasam, hachamai, but what about here? Right? So what Rashi says. Says, because the mezuzah protects the person who's living there. Fiksiv beischa, it says your house, which they learn, biascha, you're entering. Beischa sounds like biascha, you're entering. Nichnas viotziba, the person who enters and exits from there. So that's why by mezuzah the obligation is upon the renter, upon the tenant. Havalacha, b'digas chametz d'rabanan. But here, b'digas chametz d'rabanan, the imishim ba'yi rabbi matzei, we talked about this before as well, you must have come on, it's like the bitul ba'alma. Right? The bitul alone is enough. Imeisiyach taita minei, umash leka afra. If you remove your das from it and you make it into das, v'amar kal chamir d'beisadein, you say so in the statement of bitul. For Rabbanan, who does Rechub Diga. Sometimes the Bayer Rabbi Matzei really forget about that. That bitl gets rid of. So now it's just the Rabbanan set up a Diga. Behashta ki agabna mi bayalan. So now the Gemara is asking, Toreach Zel mi mutal. So this bother, who did they place this responsibility, this bother on? They place it on the Socher, on the Master, on the landlord tenant. So you can't prove to me from Bediga, from Mezuzah, because Mezuzah is a Doraisa, which is Chovas Adar, based upon protecting, entering, and exiting. And that's definitely on the renter, on the tenant, on the dweller. But the question is, but by the Gashamites is different. It's a totally different thing. And you don't say, Yavai Matzah, it has nothing to do with it. So it's the same question who the Rabban set it up on.
It's a question of what?
Who they set it up on, who they set the Chiyuv up on. Which, in a certain sense, I mean, in a less sophisticated form, is this our question. The question is, are you comparing apples and oranges? Mezuzah is one thing, and Mezuzah is another thing. So, what's the Gemara, right? But it's too simple. I mean, you don't need the Gemara to pull an answer like that. The problem is the fact that we thought of that answer, and there was even that answer, doesn't mean we're right. It means we're wrong. It means we're missing something. Right? It means that it's too easy. It's too easy. I mean, the Gemara tries to bring a proof from something. Obviously, there was some reason why the Gemara thought you could prove it from Mezuzah. And to which the Gemara answers, no, it's not legitimate. You can't, because mezuzah is the chavos adar, it's a chiv on the dweller. So it must be there's something going on here, right, which we're missing. I guess the problem on the table, more directly, direct problem, is what is the, why does the Gemara think he could prove it? How is the Gemara happening? I mean, it's got to make sense. I mean, it's really a problem. We have a problem. And once we get a good answer for the Hamia, then maybe we'll understand it. But there's a problem on the table. What's the Gemara trying to prove from Mezuzah? It seems totally irrelevant, impossible to prove anything from Mezuzah. But that's really the question. And then once you say, well, it is trying to prove it, then what's the answer? Right? Okay, so something like this. The way it would be is that that according to the Havamina of the Gemara, the Gemara has a problem. According to the Havamina of the Gemara, really, mezuzah should have been on the owner. Okay? Should have been on the owner. Intrinsically, really should be on the owner. And I'll tell you why. This is the pasuk says, "Of satan mezuzah be'sacho v'sharecha." You should write it on the doorpost of your house. Your house. Whose house is it? The guy whose house it is really the owner. I mean, you rented that guy temporarily so he can use it, but it's not his house. So you would say, intrinsically, the obligation of mezuzah really should be an obligation on the owner. Your house must be qualified by mezuzah. Okay. If you look at it that way, so then why then is the tenant obligated? Why then does the tenant have to do it? Because you can't, since the tenant takes full control over the place, so therefore you can't obligate the landlord in the mitzvah, the thing. Kind of like what you're saying, it's part of the taking care of the house. And since the house is under the auspices of the tenant, so he takes over, he has rights of usage, and mezuzah is one of the usages or one of the things that you do in the house, and the landlord has no rights on the house. He's, so to speak, given over all his temporary rights to the house to the tenant, and therefore any activities in the house come under the rights, the benefits, and responsibilities of the landlord. I'm sorry, of the tenant. Right, like the tenant, for instance, has his benefits that he gets to use the apartment, but the responsibilities, he has to take out the garbage, he has to sweep the floors, yes, so that's right. So even though intrinsically it's a din in the bias that the house needs him as a son, intrinsically that should be an obligation of the owner of the house. But when you rent the house, so then part you give rights of usage of the house, that immediately the mitzvah come along with that. Part of the rental agreement, so to speak, is that he takes out the garbage and he sweeps the floors and he does the mitzvahs. And does the mitzvahs come under the jurisdiction of the rental? Right? And that must be why. Why else would the renter have to be putting up the mezuzah? Really, the landlord should be. It's his house. So it must be because merely the mitzvah la ramya. That since he's the renter, he's the one who does the stuff in the mitzvahs of the house. If that's the logic, even if you were to tell me that intrinsically the halacha was that the chametz, that you can't get rid of your chametz through a bittul, but you have to search and destroy, you have to search the house and destroy it. So practically, the action of bedika is an action of the house. Even if the reason why is because of your chametz, practically speaking, the mitzvah is the mitzvah of the bias. And since the mitzvah of the bias, so they'd say is that it becomes transferred, even if intrinsically it should be the master, it should be transferred to the socher because he takes over the rights of the responsibilities of the house. So it's a maisa in the house, he does all actions of the house. So he has to do it. Right? That was the raya. Okay, the raya is based on a premise that intrinsically mezuzah also should be to the master, and the only reason it isn't is because mele mitzvah la'aramya. So if that's the case, it's going to be the same thing as by the chametz. Whichever way you say it, either way, it has to be on the renter, on the tenant. Right? Good? To which the Gemara answers, no, you make a mistake. The reason why the renter has to be the mezuzah and not the landlord is not because intrinsically it's the landlord that it gets transferred. No, that's not true. Intrinsically, it's the tenants. It's mezuzah's chovas hadar. Mezuzah is an obligation of the dweller. It's the dweller. When you dwell somewhere, your dwelling must be qualified by a mezuzah, by having a mezuzah. So since it's part of the dwelling, part of the dwelling is that you have a mezuzah, it's not a din. See, I guess the Havamina was like, define it. But the Havamina was, it's a din that a bias has to be qualified. So if a bias has to be qualified, you'd say is that the owner of the house is the one who has to qualify the bias. Maskana is no, it's not halacha that a bias has to be qualified. In fact, if you have a house, but no one's living there, you don't have to qualify it. So it's not halacha that a bias has to be qualified. Rather, it's halacha that your maisa dira must be a dira sheyesh ba mezuza. It's halacha in the dira, in the maisa dira. The dira must be qualified. The dwelling, the action of dwelling in a house must be an action of dwelling which has a mezuzah. Right? And if that's the case, so then of course the sofer is going to be chayev. It has nothing to do with the maskir. In fact, if the maskir wouldn't rent it, right, if the maskir wouldn't rent it, if he just, no one lived there, so no one would be chayev to put up a mezuzah. Okay, so it's only based on dwelling. But as chametz, that's not the case. So again, the reason why by mezuzah, it's clearly on the renter, because the mechayiv is the living. When you live somewhere, you have to have a mezuzah there. You must live somewhere with a mezuzah. Protecting you, I mean, we'll get to that in a second, but right, if you live somewhere, you must be protected by a mezuzah. You must have a mezuzah there. So that's a doing of the dweller, the guy who lives. So therefore, that's clearly going to be on the renter, on the tenant. But Bedika is a din in the bias, and the question is Bedika going to be chal upon? Okay, and how do they set it up? So now you're back to our original chakira. Is it a din in the chametz that you can't do betel, but you have to be yor? Or is it a din that the bias wants your chametz free? Because once you remove the premise that really mezuzah should have been on the maskir, but it's transferred to the sofer, because mil d'mitzah le'ra, I mean, once you show no that it's intrinsically on the sofer, now you're back to now each chisag is on independent sugya. Mezuzah should be on the sofer, but what about bediga? So we don't know. So that's a rather the gross question. Okay, I saw this morning that Rabbeinu David says basically this answer. Okay, if you look at Rabbeinu David on the thing, I mean, I think he basically says this.
Who's
it? Maybe in other words, but what?
Who's Rabbeinu David?
Yeah, I think it's Talmud of the Ramban. He wrote this is a book, Kiddush Rabbeinu David on the Pesachim.
That's not
Rada. No, I don't think so. That's where that came from. No, it's someone else. But it's basically, it's good to know about it in David, because I'm Pesachim, I'm Dami Rishonim. He's one of the Rishonim. It's only, I don't know if it's on anything else, but I'm Pesachim very good. So I think he answers it the same way. Okay. Fine, so what is Gemara answer? So now we're back to the problem, right? So my answer is Tashma. Amaskir bias lechavero. I'm sorry. Amar lo Rabbi Yitzchak bar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Tanina. So we have brisa. Amaskir bias lechavero. If you rent the house to your friend, im ad shalom aser lo machlechos chal arba asar. Oh, you know what? I forgot. We'll get back to that in a second. If you give him the keys. I'm sorry. If you give him the keys after the 14th already came about. Then I'll mask it, then the landlord's chayev. But if you give the keys before the 14th, then I'll sofer lived up. Then the sofer has to do it. So it depends, when the chayev emerges, who has control. Okay, if the guy, the rental already started, the keys are already transferred, then the chayev is going to be on the sofer. But if they didn't, then it's on the masker. So which way is this answering? So there's an original chakira. It's saying about the keys, but so which of the two choices originally, which one is it going like? Is it on the mosque or is it on the sofer?
It's really on the sofer, right?
It's really on the sofer. It's really on the tenant. It's just saying is that it's on the tenant, assuming that when the chiv came about, he was really a tenant. But if when the chiv came about, the agreement hadn't yet started, so then the chiv is chal on the sofer, on the maskir. It's chal on the maskir, on the landlord. And then it's not going to transfer when they start the agreement. There's no transferring going on, right? But essentially, it's answering it that it goes by the sofer, which means that it's a din in the bias being chametz free. It's not a din in the chametz, right? It's not a din that you have to get rid of the chametz that way. Rather, it's a din the bias should be chametz free. Okay? Good. Okay. So now, one thing we skipped over is on the Rashi, Rashi, when he explained mezuzah, so why is it that mezuzah chovas adar? Rashi said two things. He says one thing is because it protects him, and also because it says beischa. Beischa means they learn out biascha, okay, when you're entering. And so it means the person who enters and exits. That's a limud where it says is you have to know which side to put it on, the right side or left side. So it says beischa, Beischa means biascha, so it's a limud. It means in a, it really means your house, literally, but it means you're entering. So it means when you enter, it's on your right side. So you're on the right side as you enter. Okay, that's the limud. So it says you see, Rashi's saying is you see it's tied in, but you're entering and exiting. So it's the person who enters and exits. Because otherwise, what do you mean? If it's the owner, then he doesn't enter and exit altogether. So it must be you see it's tied in with entering and exiting. So that's why he's saying it's on the dweller. So what are these two things? That it protects you, and then that it's when you have to enter and exiting. I mean, what does it mean that it protects you, first of all? And sounds like a funny reason. And what's and what are these two things? I mean, is it just say right? I mean, what's these two things? What does it mean? So what does it mean to be a protect you? Just say psha, what does that? What does it mean protect you?
Because when you enter your house, you see the mezuzah, and it reminds you of ideas of Hashem, and that your security is within him and not in physical things.
Very good. So that the Rambam says, right? So the Rambam says is that mezuzah protecting you doesn't mean physical protection. But it means that when you enter your house, which is the place that you take security in, so you realize that your real security isn't from the physical, from your house, but it's from Hashem. Okay, so when you enter your house, exit your house, there's a danger of a person being falling into a trap of believing in the physical too much. It's feeling like that's the ultimate reality. So it's like a reminder, protects you. That's what Ram says, protects you from chet, from sinning. Because sin happens when a person who forgets about Hashem and remains
spiritual protection.
Right, exactly. And sin has when he forgets about Hashem and becomes steeped and convinced that the physical reality is the ultimate reality. That his house is the ultimate, now he's safe. So the Torah has reminders that ground the person in the world of true reality, the world of God. And so it's just tefillin, and it sits on your clothing, and your house is mezuzah. So that's what it means to protect you. So saying if that makes sense, that's not going to be the guy who owns the house, but the guy who is dwelling in the house. Because it means insofar as you're dwelling, you must have mezuzah to remind you, because you're the guy who's entering and exiting, taking security in the house. The guy who owns it is just another business asset. So now he's not taking security in the house. I mean, for him, it's like he owns anything else. He could own crude oil, or he could own a house. It's not just another piece of, another more money. But this is the end of the bias and the dira. So that makes sense, that's why it's on the dark. Okay, fine. It sounds philosophical, but whatever, that's what it's saying, right?
Yeah.
Okay, philosophical. So then what's the other thing? Then it's saying, Beischa, Biascha, Nichnas Yotzeba. And what's that doing? Okay, so I'm just saying like this. It's almost like what you're saying originally. It's like that the first one is, see, we gotta remember, the Havmina was, is that Beischa should really, intrinsically, Mezuzah should be on the owner. Is this Beischa? The doors of your house, so it should be on the owner. And it's only on the renter because of, practically, he's the only one you could obligate. So the Gemara saying is no. Is even though that really, there's a good reason why, because that's the way you think, that's the natural way to think. So Rashi's saying, no, it's not true. Really, the whole idea of this is based on Shmira, and therefore Shmira is not based on who owns it, but it's based upon who lives there. So you could argue, okay, that's a very nice philosophy, but halachically it says Mitzvah Beisecha. So that may be the reason for the Mitzvah, but halachically it's set up as then in your own, in your house. So what he's saying is, no, you see from the limud of Beischa Beyascha, right, and that's a halacha in terms of putting it on the right side because you're entering and exiting, is that that's really incorporated, the very halacha is Beyascha, is tied in with the dira. So it's not just that's the philosophy of the mitzvah, but he's showing you from the halachic limudim and from the halachos that it's really set up as a din in your dira, as a property in your dira. Part of dira is nichlas v'yotzei. Your nichlas v'yotzei should be entering and exiting with the mezuzah there. So he's showing you that's part of the. It's not just philosophy. It's not just the tam, but it's the halacha. It's actually halacha, and there's a limud about it. I mean, so at first he starts off showing you why, because what was bothering you is because the Gemara had an assumption, a simple assumption, that obviously the mezuzah intrinsically should be on the owner, and it's only because of an accidental halachic thing that it's on the tenant. So he's starting off right away, no, you make a mistake, you have a wrong idea. The real idea of mezuzah really is on the tenant, because Shemira is Shemira, he's always been protected. And you'll say, okay, fine, that's nice philosophy, but is it halacha? Yeah, it is halacha, and he shows you the limit. The question, why didn't he just give the lima? But I'm thinking is it could be because like the Gemara's Havamina was not just like was based upon an assumption that there has like a force behind it, which is that mezuzah beis hachla is really on the bias, on the owner. So it should be on, that's intrinsic what it should be. You put mezuzah on your, house. So it's true. You show me the limud, you say, okay, fine. So it's not true. You see biasa. But so what's the sense to it? It doesn't make any sense. Why should it be that way? I mean, it's so a bias. Why should it be on the guy who's entering and exiting? It doesn't, you know? So he's showing you the idea behind it. It's a simple idea. And it's not just philosophy. I mean, mezuzah is like an eidos. It's like a, it's not just like a chok of mezuzah. I mean, it's eidos. The mitzvah of eidos, mezuzah is there to remind you of it's an eidos about Hashem. It's not just like philosophy. It's like, you see, the Ram has that in the Mishnah Torah that mezuzah reminds you of, you know? It doesn't say that in most Tamei mitzvahs. It's like part of the mitzvah of mezuzah is that you're reminded of the thing. So it's not just abstract philosophy. But he's showing you within the philosophy of the thing, it makes sense. So he could have just said, off you look, that's how that's it. But he's showing you the sense to it. Primarily, since the Gemara was based upon an assumption, which has a sense behind it, that it goes by the house, the owner of the house, he's the real Baal Bayis. So he has to first he shows you the idea of why it's not that way, and then he shows you that idea is off. It's interesting, the order. I mean, I would have thought, do it in the other order, you know? Show me the limud and then show me why it makes sense. But I don't know, that's already, you know. Yeah. Okay, now let me just ask you one question. So we'll do it next time, I guess, is Tosos. So this Tosos here, Alamaska lived, though. He basically doesn't like Rashi, because according to this Rashi, the original Chakira, which we're learning, according to Rashi, when were you doing the rental starting, according to the original Chakira, the way we were learning? When was the rental agreement beginning? In the Yibaya, in the two-sided, in the question.
Yudalit?
When on Yudalit? And after Yudalit started or before Yudalit started?
When was it what?
When did the rental agreement start, according to where we were learning Rashi?
In the morning.
Before Yudalit.
Before Yudalit. And that's why the question was, if it was already Yudalit was Chal, it was already on the Maski, and that's it. So the assumption was it was before Yudalit, right? The problem is the Mishnah doesn't sound like that. The Gemara says, Hamaskir by Sechaveru Garba Asar. Sounds like it's on the 14th. So that's kind of the Tosas goes against Rashi for. So they do this Tosas on Hamaskir, and what Tosas says, Kash and Rashi, try to see if we could at least somehow explain Rashi. And then Tosas has his own way to learn the Ibaya. So let's do that, you know, learn Tosas. And then you have the next Tosas. It's the two bottom Tosas on Dalana. And then this thing about the keys. Let's see, there's a problem with the keys. Because normally it's not so clear. Keys, why do you think keys? Rashi says keys is the kinyan. It's not so simple that keys is the kinyan. Normally kinyan should be kesef, shtar, chazaka, not keys. So that's the next Tosfos. So two different things. First, to find the question according to the Tosfos, and the first Tosfos, Alamaskir, and then the next Tosfos, so that the keys. Okay, one at a time.